Time stops for no being. Overthrowing despots be damned. A favor for a friend and ally brings the Voidjammer's crew to the ocean planet of Entha on a rescue mission. They'll soon find out that the Turning Water is home to many mysteries, some that jeopardize their current mission, and some about the crew members themselves. Beneath the surface lie potential answers and, for once, a job that has them answering a call to protect and to preserve. Aside from the demons within, in their way stands a much more immediate and external dragon to slay, the company manager of Entha and her squad of aquatic troubleshooters. And Saren, Relora, Ballad, and Friday look like the perfect target practice. Ride the waves or get shot trying. Far beyond the stars.
Angel, are you the one who was doing the chalk outline of Righteous's dead body?
Yes. Yes, I was like, I'm going to laugh out loud. I'm going to laugh out loud. Originally, I was going to put sorry. Ooh, okay, this was the first one I was going to select. Oh, gosh, bless it. Okay, hold on.
I love you. You're amazing.
Copy image. That's the first one I went to.
Oh my god.
And then I was gonna do
I love oh no
where are you doing this? I don't see anything.
And the thirst notes.
Oh.
Sorry, I got so inspired by clear. The walrus.
Righteous is not, like, dismembered, unlike the picture that Angel has so... proactively decided to put in the show notes. The energy is already wild today, and I like it.
Oh, yeah, I was inspired by the walrus one. It's, like, not an actual picture of Brichet. Oh, goodness. Woo! Okay.
I mean, that's about as good a picture as any, because like the AP for whatever reason didn't give me pictures of Brichet and Righteous. So,
oh,
I hate when they do that.
That's me too. It's like, well, you just introduced all of these NPCs and you gave me the pictures for some of them.
The most humanoid looking ones, mind you.
The most humanoid looking ones, yeah. So we don't. So honestly, that was because they don't even really describe Brichet either outside of like her species. So Angel, I thought that was a picture of Brichet because I didn't remember that. And then that's the picture that comes up when you Google Morlamaz.
I wanted a picture. I figure if we couldn't get a picture of Brichet, the best thing I could do is understand what they look like. And so I put a picture of that into the head to make sure in parentheses, not an actual picture of Brichet.
Right. But I mean, but it is now because the AP did not provide an actual picture of Brichet. So that's her.
All right. Coo, coo, coo.
Amazing. And that canonically is now a picture of Righteous, just a chalk outline of a humanoid body.
Don't forget that you need to add a drill impale into it.
I remembered when I was found the dismembered one. I was like, oh, wait, mm-hmm. No, there was some sort of like explosion? No, they were at the drilling thing. No, the struts exploded. Yeah. I can't remember.
They're in the pilot seat of the drill. They're not impaled on the drill, just to be clear. The drill went through the wall of the station.
Oh, there we go.
Wow, seeing that totally derailed me off of what I was actually going to open with talking about. But this was way weirder and way better. So we're just going to go ahead and slide right on in to our episode today. So last episode, which thank you very much to whoever wrote the what happened last episode. I'm just going to read it verbatim. last episode, you managed to save the station, in all caps.
Woo!
You killed a baddie, found Shady Shan. I noticed that somebody called her Shady Shan in the notes. Objection, but anyway. Shady Shan, Brishe, and Kaya. Zivix was able to finish fixing the pump thanks to Vix's calming demeanor. Just settled that Sheeran right down. Shan chewed out Friday a little bit and threatened to flush him out of an airlock before you all productively got down to the business of actually fixing the struts.
Point of order, I think Friday chewed out Shan a bit, but you know, whatever.
I don't think that's accurate.
I think you can see from all of our faces, we disagree with you with that. But you know what? Speak your truth. Live your truth. And the station, terraforming platform, whatever, has been fixed. The struts have been lowered, and it is now firmly snug up against the ocean floor and not tipping over any longer into an abyss.
And the water's starting to drain, right? From the station.
Yes, the water is starting to drain. Yes. From the parts of the station that you have discovered so far. You may assume that the parts of the station that Saren observed when she was piloting the little robot around the platform, that the rooms with totally broken walls are probably still flooded in a permanent sort of way, unless those walls actually end up getting fixed. But any room that still is like reasonably sealed off from the ocean, the pump will be able to start clearing water out of there turn by turn.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Woot.
You know, at the end of last episode, or after last episode, you were saying something about you'd forgotten that Saren wasn't actually inside the drone.
I had forgotten that.
I definitely, this, like, right before we started, I was like, right, Saren's inside the drone.
No, she's not.
Nope.
Not even at all.
I imagine that it was a bit perilous for Brishe and Miss Fanny kind of being up under the thing trying to fix the struts as we landed it on the ground.
Oh my god, I didn't even picture that.
It definitely was. I mean, part of the engineering check that Vix had to make was accounting for that and not getting crushed underneath the weight of the platform as he brought those struts down. It was actually a fairly high DC check too. So
good job.
Excellent engineers on this team. Cause that was hard.
Yay. Good thing I had the math app installed on my HUD.
Let's see. I think just while the water continues to clear from the station, we're going to keep the turn order system. I know it's cumbersome, but that's where it's at. But we are, well, I don't know. I'm kind of going back on that. Like, essentially, I think it would be safe enough for y'all to take a 10-minute rest. And that would kind of sufficiently let the water pump out of the rooms where the water would be collecting. So if you want to dispense with the turn order, then that would be how we do it. There are a couple of enemies.
That's what I was going to ask, is I think until the enemies are cleared out, I don't think.
Yeah. All you know is that Ballad, you would definitely, I mean, you know, you watched one of like the kind of remaining enemy head around this corner in the hallway south of the ROV station. Let's just go ahead and we'll just take it from the most recent turn that we had, which was Saren and Vix, I think each went at the same time to lower the platform down to the ground. Okay. Dev is hanging out with Zivix in the pump room, not going to be taking any action at the moment, which means Ballad, you get to start.
I'm going to go ahead and start heading back out to the hallway because I want to look for that Kahlo that escaped.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll double move and then I'm going to open this door back up, the hatch that I closed earlier, because I'm hunting him down.
Get him!
And I think that's about as far as I can go.
Okay.
I'm now in the hallway for the audience's sake.
Yeah, because the water level in this hallway is still up a little bit, so your movement is impeded. Just okay. FYI.
Oh, okay. Well, in which case, I probably can't go that far then.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for the audience, I'm back at the door, the hatch, where I fought the two mercenaries or whatever. And I'm just going to wait at that hallway to go look for him.
Cool. Yeah, you open the hatch of that and water just sort of sluices out where it had been building up behind it. And just sort of rushes out around your hips. Your bottom half gets soaked, but then the water levels equal out a little more. Cool. Sounds good. Zivix is coming down from his panic attack. You know, he's back in the pump room. It's Zivix's turn now, in case that wasn't clear to our audience. And he's continuing to let Dev calm him down. And they're just going to stay there. And they're going to chill. Friday! Mon Capitan.
Okay, well, Friday is going to double move down to where Ballad is. And that will be his turn. I got you back, Ballad.
All right, let's get him.
Okay, we are back to the top of the... Well, I guess I had Shan and Kaya moving on Friday's turn. So Shan and Kaya are right on Friday's heels, heading also for the pump room. And Shan calls out, "Where are you two going?"
"Assassin hunting."
"Okay. Be careful. I think it's still pretty flooded over there on that side. Those chambers went first because that's where, you know, explosion stuff."
"Thanks for the heads up."
Friday's going to flip on his wetsuit features just in case, like, he enters a flooded room. He's not going to, like, suffocate.
Fair enough. Yeah, so that's going to do it for Shan's turn. Saren, the immediate crisis is kind of over-ish, so what do you want to do?
I had a thought of trying to maneuver maneuver the pod some more to see if I can catch the Callow anywhere outside of the station itself. Kind of do like a scan around to see if like it shows up. Is that something that is a possibility?
Heidi, I have discovered your answer.
Okay.
No. Outside of the observation deck, there are no, like, windows into this thing.
Okay. Yeah, because the question wasn't necessarily, like, am I trying to look in from the outside so much as trying to see if the Callow is outside.
I see what you're saying. Make me a perception check.
Okay.
In this case.
With my perception bonus of 8, that is a natural 20 for 28.
My goodness. Goodness gracious. Wow. Yeah, there are no sign of Callow mercenaries on the outside.
What a lovely use of a natural 20. I'm glad I used it on that.
A beautiful use of a natural 20.
Saren, Ballad and I are moving to the southwest quadrant. Can you make sure there's not anything that needs to be patched up along the way?
Well, the south, southeast, wait, is the southwest? Is the southwest destroyed?
No, the southwest, and you can see through this water like it's crystal clear, clear as glass. Nothing is obscuring anything from you. You can see very clearly that the only two wrecked sections are in the southeast and then directly south. And then as you move back along, you can probably figure that the next section over would be like the laboratory area, judging off of the schematics that you downloaded earlier. And then the area right above that would be the ROV.
Where I am at. Yes.
Where you are definitely and not, again, in the machine.
So Saren then over the comm goes back, just it looks like kind of getting the hang of this again. It looks like there is just the two sections that are destroyed, the one that is the observation deck and the drill room are the two that are most destroyed. The laboratory seems to be fine and not in need of being patched up. I didn't see the Callow outside anywhere, which means that they are probably somewhere inside the base.
10-4, good buddy.
And that will pass my turn.
Okay. Vix, what is up?
Vix has just finished fixing the struts, welding, installing, ratcheting, whatever tools are on hand. Now painfully aware that this thing could have just completely smushed them. So once it settles, you know they're going to... Ooh. Oh, I guess as they exhale through their gills. And we'll give a big gaily two thumbs up to Briche. Since they also had a fin in or flipper in the repairs. And with kind of that out of the way, they're switching back to their kind of operations mode. So we'll go back on the cons with a... Right, Saren, all the repairs are done. What's the next on the agenda? We had... Pump, check. Shan, double check. And now struts, check, check, check. What's next on the agenda?
It seems like most of the work that needs to be done outside is pretty much complete. If you want to head back inside, we can take care of things. Because we can't really fix the two busted up sections with the drill or the observation deck, so... Just kind of regroup and see what the captain needs from you.
All right. Heading back to the moon pool. And we'll make their way swimming along to the moon pool. We'll telepathically update Briche. And that'll do.
Excellent. We're just going to go ahead and attach Briche's turn to yours as well. Briche gives you one claw up and begins following you to the moon pool. And that will be her turn. Moving back on to Ballad.
Perfect. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go further southwest.
Okay, you're heading down that hallway?
Yeah.
As you're heading down that hallway, you can see clearly from where you are that there is another closed hatch at the end of it.
The one I'm going down or the other one?
Either. There's a hatchet on either end of the hallway, and then also down like the longer hallway that you just turned, there's another closed hatch at the end of that.
Okay. I'll continue down the hallway that I saw the Callow go down and open the hatch down here.
Okay. So you're opening the hatch.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Good times.
Surprise.
Surprise. Hang on a second. Just gotta reveal this little area.
We should patch into the cons and just start talking hella shit before the mercs, but just psych them out.
Yeah.
I'm coming to get ya. I'm gonna punch you in the head just in. Like your friend.
Oh, I love how they actually, on the map, they show you that they're destroyed and waterlogged. That's a really cool one.
Yeah, isn't that kind of fun?
Cool.
Ooh.
Yeah, since you actually have seen it inside now, I figured it might as well reveal those areas. But yeah, they're just completely flooded and the walls are totally busted up.
Dang.
Ooh, that drill just went
dang
in
indeed.
I hope they opted in for the life and dismemberment policy of their employment contract. Oh, wait, this is the Edge Corp. They probably will send a surcharge to their family because they weren't done paying on it. Your premium on your life insurance is outstanding. Next of kin, please report to the next indenturement center. Edge Corp, they suck.
So evil.
Super evil. So first of all, Ballad, I'm going to need you to make me a perception check.
Oh, okay. 23.
Neat. Neato burrito. As you step into this hallway, Ballad, you're not ordinarily super receptive to telepathic messages unless, you know, Miss Fanny is like directly screaming them into your brain. But there's just something that kind of reminds you of that sensation that's just sort of tugging at the edges of your consciousness. You can't even really make out any words. The only thing you can really make out is a feeling of just sort of general panic, a little helplessness, and a direction, which happens to be the hallway that you're already walking down. So when you whoosh the door open, you see that the inside of this room is definitely a laboratory of some kind. You see a variety of like research and analytical equipment. It's got a curved exterior wall, which again looks a little different from what you've seen on the rest of the platform so far. It's been very sort of like flat, boring metal paneling for all of it. But this is a curved wall, and built into it, it holds several aquariums that hold that are just holding a bunch of different kinds of the local water life. So there's coral colonies in there. You can see some small glowing fish. There's a large eel with feathery fins. And then there are also large rectangular metal tanks topped with nets of fine mesh resting below each aquarium. There are also dissection tables, scales, and waterproofed computers sitting in organized rows in the middle of the room. You don't have a lot of time to take this in, because also in this room are two Callow mercenaries, one of them with a large wound in his side that have both of their guns aimed towards the door.
Nice. Ballad grins. She just yells back at the captain, "Hang back a sec, I'm gonna blow." And she's just glowing right with solar energy.
Oh, my.
She's going to go in here and fucking explode on them.
Nice. But you can't do that yet.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Although, wait, let me check how much I moved. 5, 10, 15, 20... Yeah, I moved a little too far to do that, sadly. So yeah, I'll just wait till next time.
In the meantime, though, we move back to Zivix, still in the pump room with Dev, and that's kind of it at the moment. Not doing anything. No news on that front. So, Captain Friday, it's your turn again.
What does Friday want to do?
You'll be safe if you come like partway down the hallway, because I'm gonna.
Yeah, where can I go? Can I get move to a point where I can at least see you?
Yeah, you could probably stay back there and be fine. Yeah. Okay. At the intersection.
Okay, I know exactly what I'm gonna do. This is gonna be fun. Oh, I'm so happy about this. I need both of them to roll me a reflex save.
A reflex save, you say? One of them rolled a 23.
Okay.
And the other one rolled a 6.
Ooh. Okay.
So that's a nice even spread of things happening.
So one of them is completely fine, but basically what happens is underneath both of them, I imagine the floor is quite wet and damp still. And
it is indeed quite wet.
And Friday just has this, puts his head to his temple and he reaches out, and all of a sudden, like the Arctic sensations of another planet come up underneath them and freeze the water into a sheet of ice, and they just move it slightly and one just falls flat on their ass, which means if they get up, Miss Ballad here gets an AOO. So that one is I'll knock prone, the other one's fine.
Ballad, you see the mercenary that was wounded earlier, just as the ground shifts to ice underneath the two mercenaries. He's already a little extra wet because he swam to get in here. And it's just, he just slip and slides all over the place. His feet go out from under him and he just falls flat on his back. The other one has to throw his arms out, but does manage to regain his footing.
You hear Friday call out to Ballad. You're welcome.
Nice one, Captain.
Is that going to last, by the way, or can I step in here safely?
Oh, it's gone. It's an instantaneous kind of thing.
Awesome.
Great. I hope that's the end of your turn. I surely
that
do.
That is the end of my turn.
The mercenary's still on his feet. After pausing briefly to kind of not fall completely prone. I said he was holding his rifle, so I guess that's what I'm going to go with as far as what he is going to attack you with. He hoists it back up to his shoulder and fires at Ballad, obviously. 18?
No.
Against your EAC?
Nope.
I didn't think so. Didn't think so, but I had to give it a try. I had to give it a shot.
I ain't taking the penalties from wearing this big armor for nothing.
You powerful little jerk. And I think he is going to take a guarded step back as well.
Smart.
Backing up farther into the room. Okay. That's his turn. We move once more to the top. Which means this guy. I can fire from the ground just fine. So instead of trying to get up, I think that's what I'm going to do.
That's so fun. It's going to be fun with Ballad curb stomps them.
That's a 23 against your EAC. I assume that still misses.
No, that does hit.
That does hit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Delightful. I'm so happy.
Uh-oh.
11 points of cold damage. He's still lying on the ground, but he still manages to swing his rifle up, and just a bullet made out of pure frozen cold hits our dear sweet Ballad.
Stop hitting me.
That's the one that keeps hitting me.
This is the one that keeps hitting you.
Sounds like it needs to die.
You see his tentacles sort of writhe. You see his tentacles writhe into like what you might assume was a bit of a smile behind his faceplate. And he says, "You first."
Oh, no way. I'm gonna fry your ass.
Saren, it's your turn.
Does Saren know that a fight has broken out?
I think we announced over comms that we're hunting down the other two, so I'm going to say yes, you would know.
Okay.
It's probably pretty loud. The guns go off and stuff.
I guess that's fair, yeah.
Yeah. You would at the very least know that your friends had been heading towards danger.
So the reason I ask is because I don't think there's anything else for me to do with the ROV.
I would say the only thing is we haven't explored the northeast, like what's over there, to make sure anything over there is flooded.
I'm going to give you, because of your natural 20.
Yeah.
Your natural 20 from earlier, you checked every camera, nothing got by you. The rest of the platform looks in stable condition, especially with the water pump active. Any other punctures that are still back there, the pump is able to deal with whatever is leaking in. So while repairs would still need to be made, the platform is no longer an environmental crisis.
Okay, cool.
As long as the bulkheads leading to the flooded rooms stay shut. That's the caveat.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then that clarifies for me what I'm going to do, which I'm going to say, Saren heard the laser fire. Choose yourself. All right, guess all this work is done. Time to go fuck some shit up. And spins the swivel chair, stands up, and like dashes down the hallway past Shan and Kaya. And it's like, "Hi, Shan. Bye, Shan." And just
Saren, wait.
I'll talk to you in a minute. And I have 80 feet of movement, which means can get to wherever I can want. I could literally stand in the same square as
hot damn
Ballad.
I think as you run by, I think Friday will go, stop, Saren. Ballad's about to blow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And G comes skidding to a halt, using the crystal lance to just etch yourself as G like comes pivoting around the corner.
Because it's still pretty wet in there.
Yeah.
That's funny to imagine.
Like, not mechanically to interfere anymore in that hallway, but still.
Yeah.
See a 7-foot tall rock person swinging around a corner. And she's just splashing up water all along the way.
Like, I mean, 80 feet in six seconds. Like, that's, I don't know. I don't know how fast that is.
Like,
I
could do some fucking Usain Bolt over here.
Yeah, yeah, I actually want to do some calculations during not my turn to figure out how fast that is in, like, you know.
Caster Semenyo.
Saren's just casually setting Olympic records.
Yeah. I picked up a feat that gave me an extra 10 feet of movement Very speed. Nice. In any case, so that's my turn. Just double move, right?
According to ChatGPT, that's moving 9.08 miles per hour.
Woo!
Okay.
Dang. Okay.
What is the fastest human speed?
There you go. We need a comparison. MPH.
Okay, 27.33 miles per hour. So, like, Usain Bolt is three times as fast as Saren is.
Saren. Dang. Holy, so it's actually not that crap. Impressive a land speed.
Still, though.
Saren is probably like three or four times as fast as me, so.
She's certainly way faster than Ballad.
Yeah. I have a 20-minute mile.
Way faster than me. It takes me 6 seconds to. I can't even get up out of my chair in 6 seconds, so that's pretty bad.
Same.
I'm like, one, two.
Arguably, it probably should be an action to stand up from the chair, but I don't know.
I'll
just
wave
that
it.
Past.
That's fine. I don't care. Vix, it's your turn.
Am I still making my way to the moon pool? Have I made it to the moon pool? I don't know how much movement
I'm gonna say you've made. You were able to get from the moon pool to the strut in one turn, so getting back.
Oh, gotcha. Same. Okay. I'll do a jump out of the water type deal back into the room. Let's see. I see Dev, and I'll just wave. And I'll go back on the cons, be like, I'm like checking to see how his injury is from just where I am. Casually, not like roll to do a roll. Just, you know, maybe there's bleeding or bruising. Mm-hmm. But I'll get back on the con. Like, all right. Back in the moon room. Where is everyone? I thought we were having a meeting. Am I late?
Ballad, Saren, and I myself are going rabbit hunting. We're getting rid of those last two Kalos.
That's what you mean by that expression. I'm on board now. Okay, on my way. Weirdest language I need to learn one of these days. Nobody's saying half the
Friday
time.
Friday just says things.
Where I land basically at the end of the turn is where Ballad started theirs, right in front of the door that was doing the choke point for the Kalo when the battle just started, and is as much as they can do, and really nothing too much more other than, you know what, they'll take a little med gel out of their bag just in case it's needed.
Okie doke.
Or Serum of Healing, as it's called in this world.
Dev, I think, because it's his turn. Noticed everybody's been sprinting around an awful lot. You know, he's not on the comms or anything, so I don't know like how much he actually knows about what's going on, but he knows just enough to where he catches Briche's eyes, makes a significant eyebrow waggle at her, and then jerks his head over at Zivix and walks over to Zivix and says in as distracting a tone as he can possibly manage to be like, hey Zivix, is that like bolt loose on the pump or whatever? We should probably keep working on it, right? Meanwhile, he's like unscrewing a bolt subtly behind his back.
Vix is like, there's no bolt out of place. I thoroughly inspected it and even recoded the faulty algorithm. I mean, the algorithm that just needed a nudge.
Nope, it definitely seems like there's something loose that Zivix really needs to make sure his attention is focused on it, yeah?
Oh, you're right. Ah, you're right, of course.
Wait, hold on.
That's decent enough.
Oh, are you rolling to see if Laura got it?
That's correct. Three cheers for Zivix.
So that's,
they've saved us from sinking. Hurrah!
They've saved us all. And that's the only joy. That's the only danger. The only problem right now.
Whoopsie. That was a close one.
Whoopsie. We're moving on to Ballad's turn. How splody will you splode?
Oh, yeah. Here she goes. She's going to just stride into the room with a little smile on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I've mentioned before, she collapses in on herself like a dying star. And a 10-foot column of screaming fire erupts out around her. And they both need to make reflex saves.
Yes, they sure do.
Roll damage.
That's a 20 for the guy on the floor and a 12 for the one on his feet.
Okay, so the one on his feet is going to take 21 points of damage. The guy on the floor is going to take 10.
Unlucky. Very
That's
unlucky.
Okay.
How much damage injured, did you say?
21. And then 10 for the floor
21,
man.
21, you say? For the floor man. Oh, my.
Floor man.
Oh, my. Oh, God.
Take the damage.
Did you kill all the aquarium fish?
I don't think it reached that wall. It's only a 10-foot explosion, so it's more centered on this lake.
The tanks look fine.
Yeah.
They're just a little darkened. Soot.
A little soot.
They have tans.
Oh, my. All right. The guy on the floor, did manage to just, roll himself away out just outside of the blast, so it's just like the back of his armor got singed a little bit. But the one that had been on his feet is still on his feet, but barely. these are water people to begin with. Fire really not something they're especially adapted to deal with. So his skin is crackled. There are juices. He's a little cooked.
Yeah, Ballad's going to be corny.
And screaming.
Ooh, I feel bad a little bit, but...
He's just
once fried fish.
Screaming the scream of someone who got... You're so awful. Fortunately, he can't hear you over his own screams, so that's good, I guess. So you can't add emotional wounds.
I got it. Captain does the infinite worlds, and this white wolf comes out. It's like, fish. Gobbles it up and goes back through the rift.
Oh, that would be so good.
That's super funny.
If I had a hero point, I totally would do that.
Oh, gosh.
So moving... I assume that's the end of your turn. Is that the end of your turn?
Yeah.
Mom?
Yeah, that was my standard and a 5-foot step, so...
Honestly, it does kind of smell delicious in here.
Ooh, love it. Just a little bit. Knew it.
Bet.
That's so funny.
So Zivix, I'm going to make a quick roll to see if Zivix hears the screaming. That'll be fun.
Ooh.
because he's screaming real loud and the pump room is loud. It was a super low chance, but I just wanted to see, but no, it does not clear it. If he rolled a natural 20, I was going to do something, but
that would have been hilarious.
That would have been very funny and an excellent use of one of my rare natural 20s. But alas, Dev has Zivix pretty well distracted. Dev is just kind of loosening bolts as he goes around the room, and Zivix is going, oh, wow, I really could have sworn that I'd already gotten this one. But yeah, I mean, okay, I guess I was kind of a little distracted earlier. But I'm fine now. And we move on to Friday's turn. Friday, there is a screaming mercenary following a column of fire and the smell of cooked aquatic person.
Friday's going to move next to Ballad's smoking body. And nice explosion there, Ballad.
Thank you.
And he's going to hang on. Let's see if I can help give you some burning assistance. Friday opens his mouth and spews flame at the damaged Callow. I need to roll me a reflex save.
Well, which damaged Callow? Because there are now two that have taken some damage.
This one here to the south.
Okay, so the guy on the floor that rolled out of the way.
Yeah.
Pick a Callow while they're down.
Yep. Title.
So rude.
Yeah, that is a good title.
That is a good title.
Kick that Callow.
What are you doing to him?
I am activating my dragon gland and spewing fire on his ass.
Gotcha. And is it a reflex save for me? Or yes. An attack?
Reflex save.
Okay. This poor guy. He got knocked down by ice. Fire happened. He rolled out of the way. Now there's more fire, so it's rolling back the other way. Oh, no. Man, his reflex saves are bad. He got a 6.
He takes 7 points of damage.
Okay.
Don't yes. already.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. Audience. We're doing chat in the Roll20 chat. Sorry. I guess the folks, the audience misses out on our text hilarity.
Ballad has a literal Bluetooth. Is it a speaker?
Ballad just opens her mouth and the little Bluetooth music comes out of it.
I love that. Ballad, what tunes are you playing?
Oh, God, I don't know.
What's the probably genre? What's the vibe?
You know what? There's this musical artist I like called Channel Trace, and I feel like she plays some of that. It's like club music, but it has a very like smooth, groovy vibe. It's for her epic Hell battles.
Uh-huh.
Clearly so smooth while she's fighting. Nothing dorky or embarrassing has ever happened.
We had one of our characters in one of my previous games, we had a character with an earring of ever playing battle music.
That's funny.
Okay, Friday, is that the end of your turn? You've done a good job between you and Ballad. You've done a good job of sort of like melting this guy's armor to his skin. Like you can see that there are just bits where like the actual shell of it has just like melted into him.
He's fish still alive?
Fry, fish fry, fish fry.
I go.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Gordon. Just call me Gordon and I'm going fishing.
Call back.
That ends Friday's turn.
Ooh, okay. Our other fish fried friend. Let's see. He is flailing a lot. What does he want to do?
Start breakdancing to Ballad's music.
That's how he appeals for his life.
I'm going to say he has dropped his rifle.
Oh.
Just because he's in so much pain. He's in so much pain. Like he... I think he completely dropped it and now has his spear in his hand instead. And he is just screaming his head off and making a mad rush at the person who did this to him. Spear pointed directly at Ballad.
Oh, I got the episode title for this one. Two fish, no fish, because I'm having a feeling these guys are going to be dead at the end.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to be dead.
Yeah, two fish, no fish. That's the title of this episode.
Ooh, yeah, that's probably not going to do it. That's a 12.
Nah. That would be a crit fail in 2E.
I didn't think so. Yeah. he charges you, but I don't know, for whatever reason, he's not aiming so good. I don't know if he's a little distracted by still kind of being cooked from the inside just a little bit. But he takes a jab at you and just it goes completely wide.
He's probably staggering. I would be too if I was him.
So cruel that you're laughing. I don't know how you lived it.
Well, next time, don't work for
Gosh, Nivel. Paladin.
Whatever. Actually, I don't even know who they work for.
Avarin.
I put that in my first notes because I was like, what are they here for?
Guy on the floor, rolling out of the way, seems to be going kind of well for him, kind of not well, but no matter. He's going to keep shooting. This time at Friday. Won't that be fun?
Here's my AOO. Ooh, I got a 29. That was almost a natural 20. Oh, I'm not attuned. That's sad. So it'll be less damage than normal. Okay. Lucky for him.
How much is the damage?
Well, it's 1d6 plus 14.
Boy.
So 17.
17. Less than it would have been.
Yes. I'm not attuned. Lucky, lucky.
Isn't that special for him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What did he hit him with?
My solar weapon.
Your solar weapon?
Yeah, 14 of that. Actually, all of it was fire because of my plasma sheath.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's actually all slashing and piercing. I'm such a liar. Okay, hold on. Because my I can only use my plasma sheath when I'm in photon mode.
Why is
this so complicated? So it's all piercing damage.
Does that change the amount of damage at all?
No. It's
all piercing damage.
Yeah, 17 piercing.
But it's piercing. Okay. Cool. Yeah, the places your flail is actually like hitting him, it's leaving these significant holes that are like gushing blood, but not quite dead yet. His eyes are still like, he blearily still has them open and is trying to bring his gun up to attack Friday. He rolled an 11 on that attack, so I'm guessing that does not hit your EAC, Captain Friday?
No, it does not.
Did not think so. It's the end of his turn, and we move on to Saren.
Should we be attempting to get this guy to surrender to ask him questions?
Tried that last episode.
But he's in a much worse position now.
If it's over the con, so go, that's a good idea. I don't know why I didn't.
We could try. Static. I mean, we already kind of talked to the ones that we were fighting outside of the ship. Along, you know, a few episodes back. So we kind of know. I don't know. I don't know what else we want to find out.
I mean, because if the answer is no, we don't care, then Saren will just run in and kill him, or attempt to kill him, rather.
Right. Well, and there's two of them, so.
Just a quick note that I'll give you for free without having to, like, make a perception check or try to remember. They're wearing different armor. These are callow and not show pods and sort of like shitty scuba gear. These are professionals in really nice, well-maintained professional gear. It would not be a leap to think that maybe someone else hired them.
Okay.
Because remember, the last two people were sent by Elaine.
Well, like I said, there's two of them, so you could always kill one and we can talk to the other. Okay.
The one on the floor that's prone seems to be the more important of the two. Judging by the way that he was talking earlier. So Saren will continue to run, splashing water up behind her, 40 feet into the room. She can't quite get to the flank, right? That's 5, 15, 20. And we'll make a singular attack with Xur fancy blade, crystal lance, the only weapon that is worth using for sure. Full attack, no. Submit. That is an 18 with 11 points of piercing damage or slashing damage.
Oh, I love this. Okay, so this guy just tried to run Ballad through with his spear. It went wide. He totally missed. You dash into the room, kind of get around him, and then jab your lance in there. And
yeah,
he just crumples. His screaming, which has not let up since Ballad lit him on fire, just cuts off abruptly. And he falls to the floor.
Oof. Just like I'm imagining just straight up through the back to like, you know, like have at an angle coming out the chest.
Ooh. Dang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's imagine like he kind of slides off your lance to actually like sort of like with a meaty sort of fall on the floor.
Saren will then
fuck
take
with the calamity crew.
The dripping lance and point at the other Kalo and be like, you better give up or you're next.
Awesome.
Roll me an intimidation check.
You better get up. I mean, you better surrender.
Mm-hmm.
I have a +1 to intimidate. So Saren, despite having just done this, rolled a 7. So yeah.
I don't know. So sometimes it's so strange.
Yeah.
The underwater lights are hitting your like crystals and like it's like the golden hour, so you look like like a supermodel. So
it's just too pretty.
Like so pretty.
I mean I'm on board with that. Maybe it like looked like it was just a lucky strike than anything else.
Well, from where he is, he looks back at you and says, "Thanks for putting him out of his misery."
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Vix, it's your turn.
All right, Vix will round the corner. I think just like kind of like a power walk mode. We're heading into the corridor now. Now that they're close enough, we'll send out telepathically. Whoa, 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 whoa. Ballad, are they dead yet? Did you kill them? Is everybody murdered in there?
One left, Fanny.
Oh, okay. So, out here, who's injured? Now I'll send out like the wide telepathy. Bing, bing, bing. Any injuries?
Well, mechanically speaking, I'm down in my stamina. I have 2 points of stamina left. I think Ballad would just say something like, I'm a little winded, but I just need a minute to catch my breath.
All right. And with that, they'll just go ahead and end their turn and maybe just casually go through the blueprints one more time on their HUD. Just because they know that there's still more to explore, and you know they're familiar with situations like this. The crew's gonna mop up folks, or maybe leave one. You know, they've already indicated to let one alive if possible, or let both of them. But after that, the crew's the crew. They're just gonna kind of hang back and just review blueprints, and that'll be their turn.
Real quick, I want you to make me a perception check, Vix.
Come on, perception, not the greatest roll, but... Oh, gosh, I'm glad I rolled very well. That's a 21.
Very good. Very nice.
Dang.
Oh, I got a +2.
You get it a little clearer than Ballad did because you are a creature that can receive telepathic messages more naturally. So you actually do hear sort of a faint telepathic, like, tugging from the laboratory where the fight is going on, and also just sort of a faint, again, like no words exactly, but just something really needs your help in there.
Oh,
interesting.
You are flooded with this perception that there is something in there that is stuck.
Ooh. All right, well, I'm heading in there. Be careful. I'm sensing sentient life in there. It's telepathic.
I'm gonna see if I can make contact. Just be careful not to throw things around or go full calamity.
Roger.
I'm talking to you, Ballad.
Well,
Captain, no zany shenanigans, please. They're gonna use their mom voice. I'm urging you all to be very careful. You almost feel the finger wave telepathically. So on my turn, but just I think passively for kind of the rest of the end of the turn, I'll try to tune in the best I can. But that'll do for my turn.
Ballad, why don't you hold off a bit when you get your going, and I'll try one last chance at diplomacy here.
Sure. I think, yeah, I'll use my turn to just... Well, we'll get there when we get there.
Okay. We're moving on. Just moving straight to Ballad's turn. Deb and the others.
Okay. She's going to crouch down and reattune. She just kind of crouches down and like puts her forearms on her legs. And she's like, I think you're going to want to maybe hear us out, because otherwise, you see this glow? And that's all she's doing to intimidate. She's not doing any, like...
Okay.
I don't think she even needs to do more than that. I mean, that's already...
Girl, that's all you need.
Right. Oh my god, natural one. Ooh. But all, I do have... Hold on, let me see if this helps
you
at all.
You do need more.
I have side reel influence, so I add 6 to that because I rolled a 6 on my d6. It's still probably definitely not enough, but 14.
Not nothing.
He does watch you with a great deal of wariness, as he should, as any smart person would, after watching you supernova. But he says nothing.
Okay. I'll leave it to Captain.
Speaking of whom, what are you going to do?
Okay, friend, here's how we're going to slice it. You got a story to tell. We want to hear it. We don't want to murder any. Well, we actually really enjoy murdering, but we don't want to have to murder if we don't have to. But we're no friends of Edge Corp. So if you're here against Edge Corp, just want to give you that right now. We want to give you a chance to hear you out. And I think we could walk away from this a little less unscathed. My friend Ballad here, she's looking to explode. She loves exploding. Just look at the smile on her face. So why don't we just put it into this now? And I'm going to actually use my Spot of Luck ability, which allows me to roll a d20 3 times if I spend one RP point. So I really want to make sure I get this.
Nice.
Okay.
So the first roll is a 24. Second roll is a natural 20 for a 33.
Woo.
And just because I want it. Oh, and the second roll is a natural 20 for a 33.
Holy shit. Wow.
Hot shit, Dustin.
Hot damn. That man's got a lot to say.
I was gonna try and aid, but why even bother?
You don't need help.
Give me the aid. I want a 35.
Sure, yeah, I'll give you a 35. We'll see. Okay. Sadly, with a diplomacy, I can't. Okay, yeah. Now I roll high. 23,
of course,
so
now you do.
That is a 35. Oh, that is literally the highest possible diplomacy I can get. Oh, don't forget, woo! Spot of Luck. Our Charming Veneer. So, 36.
Holy crap.
No! Just kidding. That was insane. That was ridiculous. He is lying. Yeah, he's lying on the floor. He's bleeding. You can see that his hands on his rifle are shaking a little bit just with the injury. It's hard to maintain focus when you're that badly hurt. And he's a professional, but he's not that professional. This isn't worth it. You see his eyes, like his eyes are on you, Friday. Then they flick to Ballad. They flick to his charred friend on the floor. There's another corpse out in the hallway that, you know, the two of you took care of pretty handily with no help from anyone else. And he slowly takes one hand off of his rifle and then moves his other hand again very, very slowly, puts it off to the side, and shoves his gun away from himself and raises his hands where he's lying on the floor and goes, "Okay. All right. Now what?"
"You made a good decision, partner. Why don't we go all gather up in the pump room or whatever the hell it's called and hash it out."
Ballad is going to be gentle with him, but I want to wrap my chain around his hands.
Like the chain of your solar weapon?
Yeah. And she'll be saying as she does, "You know, I've been a hired killer, so I understand more than you think what you must be feeling right now."
He just grunts at you.
I want to take 1 second and pause and just point out how destructive of a team like Jess and I are. Jesus Christ.
So much fire. We got to do that every time. I run in and blast, or you breathe the fire.
You two are so ridiculous.
Oh, that was fun.
It's crazy.
Meanwhile, Saren and Vic's constantly fixing everything behind you two.
God, all the time.
That's your function.
Chaos and destruction at the front.
Oh, goodness.
Chaos and fixing in the back.
He grunts at you, Ballad, but otherwise says nothing. Very meekly lets you bind his hands. You notice that, like, when he does get up to stand, he winces quite a bit.
Yeah, poor guy.
Breathing hard.
I go ahead and give him one of my low-level serums just to keep him from, like... So, because I figure he's probably going to be a pain in the ass to try to move if he's hurting that bad.
He's hurting real bad. Like, he's, like, you know, not to give away the store or anything, but, like, I think one more attack would have dusted him.
Ooh, dang.
He's in real bad shape.
It would have been 18, 1d6... The lowest I could roll on my damage is 18, unless I miss,
yeah,
which is unlikely.
He would have been toast.
Right. Well, then if we're kind of like, are we kind of like shifting out of initiative, that kind of like out of initiative transition?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that like the pump has done its job and no new bulkheads were opened, leading to a more waterlogged area. So I'm going to let us move out of initiative order at this point. So we can just do things as normal. One more thing. Dustin, how much healing does he get back if you popped him with a serum?
4 points. Should be enough to stabilize him.
Yeah, he's stabilized. Still clearly in pain, and there are bits of his armor that are sticking to where they have melted into him. But he is not in danger of like dying on the spot.
Yeah, he did the opposite to me, stuck it to me with ice.
So probably while they're getting first aid, getting tied up, and Vix is coming in with their claws on their temples, kind of tuning in, sensing the presence. Also, we should relocate a prisoner out from an area that has a limited egress to the Moonpool area, which has multiple points of escape. Just putting it out there.
Ah.
And then we'll continue with their kind of telepathic vibes.
That's a good point, Vix. Why don't we call Shan and her team to come in this way too, and we'll have a big powwow.
Abby, do we have time would this be able to call it like a 10 minutes for getting my stamina back?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll call this a 10-minute. Whew. A 10-minute rest, as it were. You're out of initiative. You're not running around doing anything anymore. Let's see. I'm going to say that let's work on what Vix is up to first, and then we'll deal with Friday Ballot and the mercenaries, because you're waiting for Shan. Vix, make me a perception check, because your sense of this telepathic tugging, it brought you to this room, but you can't really pinpoint where else is in here. Like, you're scanning. It's not coming from Friday. It's not coming from Ballad. It's not coming from Saren. It's definitely not coming from the mercenary. Where is it?
All right, here we go. Come on, perception. Okay, not terrible. That's an 11.
Ah, you just can't tell. You can't tell. You kind of lost it. You know where it's not coming from, but it's...
I'm going to throw in all my inspiration to turn that into a 15. Maybe it'll make it, maybe it won't, but I'm going to do it anyway. Only because I'm picturing just putting that extra, like, extending their senses the best that they can. So I'll just throw that and turn it into a 15.
Okay. You do remember having sensed it out in the hall and being able to sort of give that extra mental strain recalling exactly what that presence felt like. You are just pulled to one of the tanks on the wall, which is where that sort of feathery finned eel is swimming around. It's moving really fast through its tank. It seems like it's in obvious distress.
Oh, gosh. I'll move closer and maybe I'll put a hand against it if it's going to help, and kind of cycle through... We're not enemies. We're new here. And kind of almost, maybe visually as best they can, kind of visual images of them landing and then you diving into the water, and maybe putting in emotions of kind of how she feels when she's in orbit, and then the feeling, you know, the minute their body immersed underwater. Again, trying to pull in multiple sensations of we're new here. Also kind of as much like peace and serenity, kind of their natural, have you eaten yet? How long has it been since you've eaten? Kind of put that into as much as they can.
The eel thrashes a little less, like it seems like it's calming down a bit, but you're not really getting much more from it outside of like wants help. It wants your help.
Okay. With that one, I'll reach out to the crew. This creature's in distress. Does anybody collectively have any information? Maybe in one of the library chips, or when Shan and them get in here, can tell us anything about this individual?
Can Saren make a life science check?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can make a life science check.
That is a 21.
You have never seen this thing before. And you know you've never seen this thing before. You, there is no question for you that this is not a life form that you have ever read about, thought about, studied. And no one on Entha, as far as you know, when you were here before, ever found a specimen that looked like this. You will kind of surmise that, like, back when you were here, there were areas of Entha's seas that hadn't been touched yet. If the terraforming project was still kind of new, where Terra 5 currently is just so much deeper than even you ever remembered actually going.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't exactly shock you that like there would be some new life forms in the mix, but you've never seen this one before.
Okay.
And from the doorway, Shan sees Vix and Saren dirt around the tank and says, "That's what we have to talk about."
Oh. What is it?
I think they're called Aglians.
Aglians.
And Shan is kind of twisting her little paws around each other. They're sentient. I think it's actually really hard to tell, but I've been helping study them.
And yeah, sorry. Entha has a ascension species. As it turns out,
I can assure you, it's sentient. It's fearful. It's agitated. I don't know where you've found it. They're agitated. They're definitely. Am I feeling like a restraint? They want freedom, or is it just like there's a general fear and agitation?
Just a general fear and agitation.
Okay.
You're picking up absolutely no complex thought.
Okay.
Saren, in response to Shan, has a gears in your head sort of look on your face, and mm-hmm. your lights sort of sparkle and then dim in like horror as she realizes what that means. And by the way, I do think she is still covered in blood and blood dripping from your arm. Like, which Shan is very politely not commenting on. And your response to Shan is, "Oh, so that's why Varen was so worried about people coming down here. Because she doesn't want anyone to know that this would basically prevent them from being able to complete their..."
Yep. Nailed it.
Yeah.
I've been trying to slow down the terraforming process and trying to gather enough evidence to get word off planet to the Xenowardens so that they can shut down the project. But it's been... Well, it's been hard to gather the evidence. Aglians appear to be limited to a single concept on their own. They don't really get more complicated thought unless they're schooling together, and they form a sort of neural network, from what I've been able to observe. It's why we never really realized that they were sentient before encountering them in smaller schools or one at a time. But I've watched schools of them investigate this platform, swarming together, separating, reforming into different groups. And I've gathered proof that they can think and reason and plan. And now I just need to get that information off world.
Oh, well, isn't it lucky for you that we are here?
Yeah. A little too lucky. Why? Why are you here? Not that I'm not happy to see you and grateful.
Well, it's complicated. I know your relationship with your mom isn't the best, but she was worried. And...
Worried? Why? Has she not been getting my messages?
No. She hasn't heard from you in weeks.
Not even my birthday message?
No, nothing.
Fuck!
Oh, shit.
Oh my god, they've been... They cut me off.
Yeah. They presumably figured anything you might send out would be code or something. And
I mean, they weren't wrong. I don't know why that surprises me.
Well, and I figured I needed to come and return the favor.
She smiles at you.
So why don't you give us your story there, buddy?
I don't know much. Avarin just hired us to take care of a couple of threats to the project.
By blowing up the entire project?
One platform is hardly the entire project. I was sent down here to make sure that Terra 5's failures were permanent failures and would result in the tragic loss of all hands. That's about all I know. I don't, Avarin doesn't exactly keep us all in her inner circle. A few of my company leaders would know more, but I'm just a gun.
What, company you work for?
It's a really good question. Hang on a second while I think of a cool sounding mercenary company name.
Assassin Corp.
What would a Calla mercenary, now I'm not thinking about it too hard, what would a Calla mercenary company call themselves?
Swimmers with the Fishers.
Fishing Expedition.
Swimming with the Fishers is funny. That's it. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like the Swimming with the Fishers mercenary company. We'll send you down to the deeps. That's the pun. He seems a little sheepish about that.
Oh, hey, well, you know who the big bad is for this book? Friday just stares at the screen.
Huh?
Oh, sorry.
What are you talking
about? No, just Captain Talk.
Well, that makes things interesting. So I think we kind of got a good idea what's going on here. These guys were hired to tear down this rig. So you guys can get out, Shan. He's going to just kill all of you. Good old Edge Corp. Always putting profit over people.
Yeah. That's how they do it. I knew I should have quit years ago. I should have quit when you quit.
Yeah, probably, but if you had, would you have been able to be here to rescue, you know, protect this planet the way that you chose to?
A fat lot of good I've done so far, but thanks. That does help a little bit.
If you think about it, frankly, their attempts to stop you from stopping them may have been the very thing that caused their downfall.
Hope so.
Yeah.
She walks over to the aquarium with the single Agilent in it. She pulls a lever and a panel behind the tank opens and the Agilent swims out. While I was being more closely monitored, I didn't want to give anything away by releasing one of them early, but seems like the cat's out of the bag on that one. I want anybody in the party who cares to make me a sense motive check.
I definitely will.
I have no bonus for this.
Oh. And you still rolled pretty good.
That's pretty good. 19th there, Ballad. Dang.
Hell yeah.
14 for Friday.
Rolled a 15, which gives me a grand total of 21.
And Saren
nice.
Rolled a 5.
Saren's got okay. Too much blood in her eyes.
Yeah, something.
Saren rolled a 5.
I'm okay, like, we go forward. I'm worried that this is against Shan, and like Shan is actually like turned or something, and like Saren is like,
no.
Is gonna be caught off guard because she, you know, loves your friend. That's my fear, at least.
Maybe that's why Saren rolled so low.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, in denial.
So, Ballad and Friday. Their focus is kind of split. They're busy keeping an eye on their captured mercenary unless he tries to do something. Saren has some blood in her eyes and is just generally overwhelmed in all ways at the moment. There's a lot of bombardment on every single front.
Oh, yeah.
R'Lora, though, is just an absolutely incredible reader of people, and especially an excellent reader of body language, where Laura has made it a habit to thoroughly study every other life form down to minute details. So Bix notices that Chan just seems really guilty about something. She's putting a good face on it. It would be really hard to tell. But you can tell that there is something eating her up inside. She turns away from the tank and she's like, well, this really accelerates a lot of my plans for what I had been planning to do. I wasn't going to try to attempt this for at least another couple weeks after I'd been to the surface and back, but part of what I need to collect is I need to get data from the Agilons themselves, which means I need to make first contact and see what we can learn so that I can make a complete report to the Xeno Wardens. Would the four of you be able to help me get out there and then help me get to a, you know, connected terminal?
Relor or Vix, and only will in this situation, the crew probably notices in every single other situation, you know, Relor, regardless of her form, is usually defers to the captain when it's like kind of the next steps for action. But in this case, I'm almost picturing where he's about to talk, and Dustin, I don't know if you're about to, but in my mind, where Vix just kind of rushes in going, now we'll be glad to help, but we're happy to help. We're here to support you, but what will really help is if you could just tell us everything, because that's when we're going to be the most helpful to you and support you the best we can, is if we know everything. And when they finish that, then they'll kind of look for the captain as far as like, well, you know, captain makes a decision. And while she's looking, she's going to send a telepathic message, like a one-to-one Saren going, now, I don't know your friend very well, but... And if they can kind of maybe replay like a quick image of their mind, is like, this is a deep-rooted guilt. You know them best. I have a sense that they're keeping something back. I don't know if I'm the person that's going to prompt them to be more vocal. I'm hoping what I said to them chance to see that they can, but this is your friend and I'll defer to you next steps. And they're kind of like relaying it as fast as they can because there's only like a brief second. Or while the captain's talking, maybe some of the dialogue is still coming through telepathically.
I think Saren's initial reaction to that is a little bit like, what? No, that can't be right. What would she have to be anxious about? Or feel guilty about? And kind of not trying to be dismissive, but feeling very dismissive just by nature. Because, you know, she rolled a 5, right? Mm-hmm. This is the first time she's seen Chan. This is, you know, underwater in like a place that she was highly traumatized. The adrenaline is wearing off because the base is fine. And I think she tries to, I mean, she trusts Vix, right? And Vix's insight is always, like, almost always on point. But is very confused and sort of caught off guard and is like, yeah, I mean, if she doesn't have anything to say, I can always ask.
Just give a nod while still kind of giving Shan the mom look, like, anything else? And the best they can.
Friday's rolled a 22 sense motive just because the fact that Vix spoke up, because you're right, Vix doesn't do that. And it feels like a double-coded message, almost. And I think with a 22 sense motive, I think Friday's going to pick up on that. And then
he's going to pick up on what?
just pick up on what there's something encoded in Vix's message, and the fact Vix spoke up, and the fact it was directed at Shan. Friday's going to pick up on that, I think, and roll a diplomacy.
You picked up on my breach of protocol. Ooh, good job, Dustin. Oh, we still have the enemy. We still have the enemy in the room, so I couldn't do the dialogue kind of bit that I wanted to just because they're still there.
And Friday didn't do great. He rolled a 2, 4, so got a 16 diplomacy. And go, Shan, yeah, that definitely, the more information we have as well. So if you're holding anything back, make sure you let us know because we got to be prepared for it. And then I think with that, if Shan doesn't respond, Friday's going to start heading down the hall with the prisoner.
Yeah, she just glances towards the tanks again and says, nope, that's it.
Ballad's impatient. And so this is going to, Ballad has no patience for this. So she's going to go stand over Shan and she's going to look down at her and say,
tell me right now.
Roll an intimidate check.
If I can, Saren is actually going to step up and step between the two. Just be like, if she said that's all she had to say, then that's all she had to say.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, well, we'll find out, won't we? 25. To intimidate Shan.
Dang.
Maybe your mom has told me, or maybe your mom has said something to you about what kind of person I am. I don't know, just a hint.
Shan looks incredibly, like, she looks for a second like she's going to hold on to whatever it is, but just, she crumples. She folds like a stack of cards in the face of just being loomed over. And her eyes just completely, like, fill up with tears. And she's like, I fucked up, okay? It was my fault. It was my fault. It was my fault the explosion happened. It's my fault Righteous is dead. It's my fault any of this happened at all. And I'm going to make it goddamn fucking worth it that any of this happened, if that's okay by you. And then she makes to swoop around Ballad and leave the room.
Okay, let's we'll just take care of the prisoner for now. Piece of garbage that's here. And we can take care of family business in a bit. Priorities first is what I think, Captain. But let's get this person taken care of.
So, actually, before that happens, can I have Saren step to Ballad and say, I told you to back off. You know I love you, but you didn't need to push her that hard. And then Saren will go down the hallway after Shan.
Ballad looks unfazed.
So what's your protocol about being captured? What's your company policy? is there a prize for returning you?
Oh,
company policy is, and he kind of, he looks, the like, mercenary will look over at Ballad and say, company policy is don't be.
Yep.
Ordinarily. I decided I wasn't actually in the mood to fight to the death today, and so here we are. But that is, well, let's just say, and he gestures at his erstwhile companion, he did it right.
You want us to do that? We can finish you up. I mean, if you want that, I think Ballad and I are more than happy to finish you off for you, but I don't
know. That's why surrendered. I surrendered. Otherwise, I would have fought to the death.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying there's no company policy, so I'm kind of at your mercy for whatever.
Okay, well, here's the thing is we always need a crew. So if you want to work for us.
My God.
Okay, Captain, I'll let you take care of... Again, their vocal cords kind of shifting to kind of the Relora vocal cords. Seems like you have personnel issues in mind. Ballad, maybe a soft touch next time. You two are handling things here just beautifully. I'm going to just see if the crew is eaten, make sure Saren is okay, and we'll just reconvene later, and you do what you have to do here. And just kind of also kind of hustles out of the room.
Ballad shrugs at the captain and she's like, hey, listen, you know, it's a serious situation. Sometimes you just got to get shit done.
I don't disagree with you, Ballad. In this case, this is anytime we're dealing with Edge Corp, you know me, my hackles are already up.
Hell yeah, brother. You're going to fist bump him.
Hello. Mercenary raises his hand and he says, don't give a shit about any of that. Mentioned something about a job.
Well, I just it'd be nice to have somebody who would we have some personnel on our ship, and sometimes we leave and I want to make sure that personnel's protected. So I don't know, you fought pretty well against us. You held your own against Ballad and I, and the fact you're alive, it says a lot for you.
Yeah, Avarin should have hired you two. You seem like the do-goodery type, though, so I don't think you would have taken the job.
No, we are do-goodery. That is one thing. You do have to be a little bit on the do-goodery side. You still get paid, but no, like killing for fun and profit.
Well. You're gonna have to give me a little time to think about it. You did, take care of one of my friends there, and I'm gonna need a minute to decide how mad I am about that. He looks over at Ballad again, and he's like, "I understand how these things go. It is just business. It's not personal at all. It wasn't very good. If it wasn't you, it would have been somebody else. But I don't know. It still smarts a bit. Hurts my feelings."
I'm trying to channel my inner Logan.
So. I know. I was gonna say you're catching them all. You're
gonna make a shameless request. But I'm just saying, you know, if the money's good, feelings can be dealt with. How much you pay?
You know how it is on a ship like this. It's a cut of whatever we earn,
How much do you earn?
Successful. Do-goodering doesn't pay as good as. I don't know. What do you think, Ballad? What do you think's a good?
I mean, we're living a comfy lifestyle. If that.
Yeah,
we have mechanically.
If we're talking in terms of BP mechanics,
yeah.
I was about to say that's like, oh, this BP is what.
All right, you give him the comfortable lifestyle number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Make me a diplomacy roll.
Okay, I'll aid.
You know, see what you get.
Okay. Okay, and this includes Ballot's aid.
Off on the aid. Oh, unless you give
no, me, I rolled a natural me, one.
Fuck! Unless you give me charming veneer, and if you gave me charming veneer, I can aid.
I always give you guys charming veneer. I've stated that I keep that up on all you all the time.
Oh, okay. Okay. I forgot then. So yeah, it is an aid.
It was a crit fail though.
Crit fail, but I still got a 17.
Didn't meet the DC.
If
crit failed and he still got a 17, that is impressive. But
any inspiration? If it makes a difference, I have one inspiration point. So
make it.
I just want this guy to work for us. You know.
Why? He's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me do some actual math here.
I just couldn't Ballad's figure out.
Along, let me do. But... Tell me. Hang on. Sometimes it's fun to have a Jane on board.
Yeah, I just couldn't figure out what else to do with him, because I don't want to just let him go. So I'm just like,
tie him up while join we take our crew. Business.
Yeah, toss him in the moon pool and let him out. I would let him go.
I'd put him in a closet or locker.
How many inspo points are you throwing at it, Dustin?
Tev one. It would just be one. We don't have to make it. I don't want to take a bunch of time. This was just stuff that I thought was funny. So.
That it pushes your roll up to a 29. If Jess does indeed aid, do you do a result?
No, just a 20.
Just a 20.
No, because like you still got a plus two, right? Like you. Oh, but not the plus nine. Gotcha. I know what's happening now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand. Okay. Yeah. In that case, like even with all that, like he'd be like, you know, I appreciate that. Appreciate the offer. I don't think it's going to cover what I'm making currently, but I could probably make if I can get myself back to Absalom Station. But tell you what, you let me catch a ride with you off this rock because my old chums, get it? Aren't going to be so happy with me.
Too soon.
I'll work for you up until then. Hitch a ride back to Absalom Station. Do we have a deal?
Sure. It's like a pine.
Right. He extends one hand to Gunner. He spits in it first.
All right. Friday shakes it.
You're supposed to spit all in right. your hand first.
Cool.
Oh, fine. I'll spit in my hand and then do that too.
Yeah. Spit buddies.
No, instead Friday cuts right. open his hand, blood and spit.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, you're asking for a disease.
So he'll start collecting all of his gear.
Welcome to the temporary crew. You're a temporary calamity.
Hey, happy not to be dead. What do you want me to do first, boss?
Just make sure we don't get shot at or killed.
Down here or up there or where,
And everywhere in between. Somebody fires at us, fire at them.
He jabs himself on the thigh with another stim, trying to get himself back up to full health. You can see his burned flesh is starting to re-knit. I'm gonna need to do some new gear though.
Take it off the other guy.
One. He looks over at Ballad and winks.
She winks back.
That's also pretty burned. Oh, I guess there's a dead guy in the hallway. Oh, Kevin.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, enough chit chat, and we got some things we got to handle. So let's all get back to the moon pool.
As you're getting there, Vix is already getting little Tupperwares and stuff unsealed. Pissed that they're like, the dessert. Oh, I gave it to that. In the cafeteria, Squidward, the robo squid. I can't remember their name.
Squidward.
The show pod.
No, that was. Oh, I can't know. Maybe that was who it was at the telephone. Somebody at the cafeteria. I gave them like all the dessert. So now it's like, no. Well, now it's out of order. These don't. This should really go with the dessert, but oh well. So it's basically just opening up a shit ton of Tupperware of different cuisines that are favored by different species, even kind of like these little candied beetles. And just kind of has that open for the crew. I don't know when the last time you all ate. And it's just kind of really looking apologetically to Shan and also to Saren. It's too soon for them to. They think they mucked everything up. They should have handled it a little different with their kind of unspoken kind of secret message or that kind of subtle message that the captain did pick up well, but kind of not in the direction that Vix was picturing the dialogue was going to go. Didn't think it was going to be immediate. So it's basically looking just apologetically as they're serving everybody.
As Friday comes in, he hears Vix talking about no dessert. And I'm going to ask for a rule of thumb for this. Friday opens a reality to a bakery and pulls out a cake from the bakery and then closes the thing and sets it on the table.
Why not?
Here you go, Vix.
It's the end of the... What is it? Oh, crap. What's the... Not end of the world. Virus from a different dimension takes us all out. Ooh, they're poking at, like they slice and poke at.
It's the cursed like, oh. Cookies.
Oh, throw it on the floor.
Here we go all again, all over again. Shan has just grabbed like whatever was handy and has shoved it in her mouth, and she is jerkily putting a wetsuit on. Shan jerks the hood up over her head, says, "We have first contact to make." Dun, dun, dun. Far Beyond the Stars is a Fantastic Worlds production. Thank you so much for listening to our wonderful, wonderful show. If you can't get enough of us, we understand. There are so, so many episodes of our other podcast, Fantastic Worlds Podcast. That's our Reign of Winter inspired show. And we're doing a Pathfinder 1E game. Excellent. There are more than 100 episodes. If you like this kind of thing, such as us forgetting what show we're even doing today, then you can head on over to our Patreon and give us money at fantasticworldspod.cash. It's just fantasticworlds.cash. I don't even know the link anymore.
There, actually, we have both, so.
We've got both. You can go to either one of those and
just because we kept making this exact mistake.
I swear we're very professional most of the time, and you can get extra episodes, other behind the scenes content, etc. I'm Abby. Don't find me on social media, but I guess if you really, really want to, you can look for me at Bonanza Famine.
I'm Heidi, who plays Saren, who for once is very upset.
What? Why?
With her friends. Oh. And is
Heidi's upset with us?
I said Saren is upset.
Man, I am really tired. Holy crap.
Justin,
it's time to log off.
Like, we're all loopy today, but Saren is pissed off at the very least. Similar to Abby, don't find me on social media. If it exists in the future, you can usually find me at Vamahillion or at Heidelon. Kind of depends on the situation. Never quite made the rebrand complete.
Oh, yeah. I've completely put that off. Well, Espinosa 916 pending, but I'll get back to you. But this is Angel, your telepath for the day. Wah, 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 wah. I don't know. That's my telepathy noise.
I love it.
This is your fry cook, Jess, serving up pot fish.
Such an asshole.
You can find me at Hank the Clank being an asshole.
And this is your Gorton's fisherman, Dustin Alexander, who plays Friday Francisco. You can find me on Threads and most social media at Dustin Alexander, and feel free to find me. I like to be found. I like to have conversations with people. So, yeah. But screw that X bullshit. Not going on there much anymore.
Yeah,
but
we're off X. We're done with it. We're pushing it out of window.
X is officially our X.
Also force your friends and family to listen to this show. We think that that's a right, good, and noble thing to do. Go into their podcatcher and download episodes of it for them. And we'll see you next time, Far Beyond the Stars. Pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
And Jason, you're probably listening while you're driving. Safe travels. Drive safe.
Nice.
Far Beyond the Stars is a Fantastic Worlds production and an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. The Starfinder Adventure Path Fly Free or Die is a trademark of Paizo. Copyright 2020. All Paizo content is used with permission.
There are so many episodes of our other podcast, Far Beyond the Stars, for you to go enjoy. And we do highly recommend that you enjoy them, because you will, because we really enjoyed
them. That's this one.
So you can find that. Did I say Far Beyond the Stars?
I
meant Fantastic Worlds Podcast. Yeah, I sure did. Wow, it is definitely time to end. It's time to end the show because my brain is offline. Offline. We crossed the 7 p.m. mark and I shut down.
If you enjoy the show, enjoy the show.
You can continue to enjoy this show next week. No, not even next week. The week after next.
I'm a little peasant girl.